قرآن كويست. Yes please.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركات.
قرآن كويست، answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركات، تحفظني من همزاتي الشيطان ومن زلاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we explore the verses of Quran with our dear Sheikh Habib Zahtar. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Habib. Thank you for coming to our show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
We're on chapter 85, Al-Buruj, or the constellations, and we are at the end of verse 11. Let's listen to a couple of verses, starting from verse 11, and we'll be back for a discussion. Stay tuned.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير.
Indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds will have gardens beneath which rivers flow. That is the great attainment.
Inna batsha rabbika lashadid.
Indeed, the assault of your Lord is severe. Indeed, it is He who originates creation and repeats. And He is the forgiving, the affectionate. Honorable owner of the throne. Effector of what he intends.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to a few verses from chapter 85, beginning from verse 11. Now, there's only one thing which is left from verse 11. God is describing heaven, and in the end, it says that this is the supreme success. We might have expected something more than a material heaven to be defined as humankind's supreme success.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. There's this other verses that talk about this actually, and sayings as well. The idea of who deserves heaven, who is the person that deserves heaven, and the simple answer to that is anyone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with is the one that reaches heaven, is the one that lives in heaven, is the one that has a life in heaven. Anyone else who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not satisfied with will not enter heaven. So the idea of living inside heaven, you say, for example, you see someone who has a mansion, right? And you say, this guy is successful. Why? For living in a mansion? Or no, for the work that he puts, that he gained the mansion. Right? So like just kind of, you know, closing in the idea. So we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating this is the great achievement because it is caused because it is gained by the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
If you're in heaven, it means God is pleased with you, and that's the supreme success. Let's move on to verse 12.
Indeed, there's also the idea of, you know, it's talking about a special group here. What special group? The group that was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, who were keeping on hold, were holding on to their beliefs even in these harsh situations. And these kinds of people deserve such high satisfaction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with them. And that's even for me, that's enough. If I understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with me, that's good enough for me. That's the greatest.
That's enough for reward.
That's enough for reward. They understood Allah was satisfied with them in this world before the afterlife.
SubhanAllah, that's a very great feeling to have. Let's move on to verse 12. Indeed, your Lord's striking is severe. Now, I was looking at the Arabic of this verse, and the Arabic particularly uses the word batash. Is there anything special about this word? Because, you know, there are other vocabularies you could use instead of strike.
Yeah, like for striking or vengeance or whatever. The idea of batash is that it's vengeance or, you know, striking where no one can stop you, where you're in complete control. I always, when I hear this word, or when I, you know, when I saw the meaning of it, I remember the scene in the movie King Kong, where, you know, where King Kong grabbed the lady, right? And no one could stop him. He just grabbed it right there. She couldn't run away. She couldn't, you know, move his fingers, or, you know, not even a helicopter could come and move his fingers, because he was, you know, it was
so
just
huge.
Like, it was so strong. So that's the thing that popped up to my mind. And just imagine that with the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants His vengeance to happen. And this is, and from here and going on, it's always about, you know, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the assurance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believers, and the caution and, you know, the rebuke and criticism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the mushrikeen.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a break now, but we'll be back for more discussions after the break.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter 85, Al-Buruj, and we're going through the verses 11 onwards. So in verse 14 it reads, and He is the All-Forgiving, the All-Affectionate. It moves on to verse 15 to say, the Lord of the Throne, the All-Glorious. Again, this is something that we see in the Quran a lot, where God is described as the Lord of the Throne. But God being on a throne, doesn't that limit Him to some specific location?
Yes. And of course, the Al-Asha'ira, one of the, you know, groups, theology groups or school of thoughts, usually use these kinds of verses to associate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a body. They state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a body. He's on, you know, the seventh sky, sitting down on the throne. But when returning to the usage of the Arabic language, usage of Arabs, I'm talking about Arabs. I'm not talking about the people at the time of Imam Sadiq. I'm talking about the Arabs, Zaman al-Jahiliyyah, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, you know, those, you know, poets, strong poets. Because Dhul Arsh, it's a kanaya. So it's like a figure of speech. And the Arabs at the time, you know, their kings and queens didn't have any thrones. They used to, you know, have mattresses where they sit on them. And, but the idea, they used to call them, in their poems, for example, Dhul Arsh. Or they used to call them, this person is someone who has a throne. There is no throne. He's sitting on the mattress, right? But what does this mean? It's a figure of speech to say this person is in charge. We also have this in the English language. For example, we state that this person is also the throne. We state that this person is the throne is his, right? There is no throne that's specifically for him or for the kingdom. There could be no throne at all. What is it saying? That this person is in charge, in control. He could do whatever he wants. He's the king, right? And it's available a lot. So here it's the same thing. What the meaning of the Arsh al-Majid is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of this throne, this universe. He's in control of everything.
Why would God do that? Why would God use figure of speeches and cause such a doubt? Because the Quran, from day one, the mission was for it to be for everyone in the world. So why would God use a figure of speech which would cause doubt for people in other places of the world? Someone can argue saying that God is explicitly saying throne. You're going to have to convince this person that it's a figure of speech.
That's his problem. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to the Arabs at the time with the language that they understood.
But with the intention that this text would be used for all times and all nations.
Yes, true. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't bring like a resemblance for us who understand smartphones right now and understand Android and iOS, for example, and bring it in the Holy Quran. Why? Because he was not talking to us at that time. He was talking to who? He was talking to the people at the Prophet. Who were the people we're talking to? True, the idea, the ideology, the mission was for us as well, for the coming generations and for the past generations as well. But the thing is that currently, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to? He's talking to the Arabs at the time with the language that they understood. This is what they understood from that time. So if you want to understand the Holy Quran, you have to return to the Arabs at that time and how they understood the language at that time. And how the figure of speech that they have. And that's why we have mufassirin and scholars who waste their life, not waste their life, you know, spend their lives, their entire lives, just on 114 surahs, on chapters.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to have to take a break, and we'll be back after the break to speak more about this verse.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 15 from chapter 85. The verse reads, Lord of the Throne, the All-Glorious. Is All-Glorious referring to the Lord or to the throne?
The Mufassirin's interpreters have two different ideas to this. One of them is stating that Al-Majid, the honorable owner, the Majid is a sifa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are, and that's most of them. Most of the Mufassirin. Some of them state, no, this is a sifa for Al-Arsh. But it's clearly wrong. The reason behind that is in the Arabic, Nahu, Arab. So based on the grammar and syntax that's available in this sentence or in this verse, it could be wrong. Because is Marfu' and Al-Majid is also Marfu'. So
They share the same diacritics.
Yeah.
So it means that they are related to each other.
Yeah, they are related to each other.
So glorious is related to Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse. In the next verse, God subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as doer of what he desires. And again, this is something which is reiterated in the Quran on and on. It's a theme that we always see throughout the Quran.
See, the idea of themes that we always see is that, for example, you have this theme. If you put it here, it gives this meaning. If you put it here, it gives this meaning. So it depends where you put that meaning.
And what does it mean in this verse?
In this verse, فَعَانُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ He's going to punish. Mm-hmm. No one can stop him about
it's implying
punishing.
His punishment. But when God says that he can do whatever he desires, should we expect him that he might suddenly do evil or break his promises?
وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهُ وَحَاشَ لِلَّهُ No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything just. He does not do such wicked actions. Why? If you want to ask why. If he does this wicked action, it's either because he needs to do it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needing means that he's not all supreme, not all powerful. That's against the idea that's against his reality. Or he does it because he does not know it's all evil, or it's a wicked action. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not all-knowing, and that's against his reality. Or he does it for the sake of it, and that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do wise actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise.
Thank you very much for your nice answers. This is all the time that we have. We have to sign off now. But if you missed the program, you can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week and much contemplation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.